We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Once again, My Music takes the stage here at the Commonwealth Institute in West London. John Amis and Frank Muir on my left, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden on my right. John, you first. Here is a famous badinery played by a well-known native of Northern Ireland. Nice bustling performance. James Galway playing Bach. John, what is the meaning of badinery and what time is it in, musically speaking? Badinery.
It's sort of four and about?
No, not four.
Well, twice two?
Yes, duple time, actually, right. Yes.
It's surely from the same word as badinage.
Yes, meaning...
A little sweet nothing. Persiflage, yes. Badinage.
Yes, comes from the French, means really frolic. I am told. You have two half marks, totaling one mark.
Received James Galway off the stage when he played something like that, but many, many more notes. And as he came off, he said, "Surely there must be an easier way of earning a living than that."
Yeah.
Too lazy to learn a comic song.
Yes. Frank, here's another movement from the same suite. Frank, that's BWV 1067. What? You know what I'm going to ask you. What does BWV stand for, Frank Bill?
It's the name of the German gramophone company. Mm-hmm. It's like HMV 107 in England.
Only BWV. B standing in that case for Berlin, I suppose.
Berlin, yes. I think it's probably one of those things like, as in literature, we say wing. Yes. Or not in wing.
Yes, meaning?
Well, wing catalogued the 1640 to 1700 books. Mm. So this chap, BWV, must have catalogued Bach.
Yes. Coincidence, the first letter being same.
Ah, yeah, Berliner...
John...
Verwunderbar.
John is waiting to give you his...
John, his dummy, Bach.
What?
Bach, B for Bach.
Yes. Can you give us it in full in your German professor accent?
I can't remember what the W is, the V is certainly Verzeichnis,
yes,
meaning Katalog.
W is for work.
Yeah, Bach, Werke, Verzeichnis.
Werke. That's it, yes. The catalog. As, well, Frank pointed out what sort of thing it was, I think we may as well give him the mark. Right, we move on. People keep writing to ask me to play records at increased speed and then ask the contestants to identify them. Right, Ian, here is a voice you know well from his work in Gilbert and Sullivan. Question is, who is he? Speed it up, of course.
When Wellington thrashed Bonaparte, as every child can tell, the House of Peers throughout the war did nothing in particular and did it very well.
Any ideas?
I did record that song myself.
You did?
Hmm. Who could tell? We all sound like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs when we're put at a higher speed. So it might be anybody else who'd done the same.
Well, we'll play you the record at proper speed and see what you think then.
Wellington thrashed Bonaparte, as every child can tell.
Feeling.
The House of Peers throughout the war did nothing in
particular and did it very well.
Terrible thing. I like the first version better.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was Shally Alpine all the time, really.
That was from the version you did.
That's
Sergeant.
Right, with Sir Malcolm Sargent. And I remember he wasn't very happy with me that day. We recorded that one. We had a little bit of an argument about the speed that it should go.
Yes.
And I wanted it a bit faster, and he wanted it a bit slower.
He won, didn't he? Yes.
He won, yes.
I can tell
yes.
that.
it was a bit of a photo finish, but I think he won.
Yes. Yes. Well, I think he was wrong, if I may say so, about the temper. Dennis, the title of the song, please, and the name of the instrument.
Are singing their
yes, that's right. At sundown. Yes, the name of the instrument, the title of the instrument.
Well, it's an electric cinema type organ. You want me to actually utter the brand name radio?
Because it became synonymous
became
with.
Generic. Yes. Well, in which case, it can only be the Wurlitzer.
Wurlitzer. Yeah. Yes, it was the Wurlitzer, played in 1927 by Jesse Crawford. While we're talking about organists, as we are, I ought to just straighten something up from earlier on in the series when I mentioned the name Gosse Custard, and we spoke of Reginald Gosse Custard and so on. I ought to point out there were two Gosse Custards, one a rather serious organist and the other a less than serious organist. We're talking about strange names, and the lady wrote to me from Winchester saying, have you noticed that R. Gosse Custard is not the only odd name, and she lists Ossie Peasgood, Oliphant Chuckabutty,
yeah,
Allwyn Surplice, A.C. Goodenough, and W. Greenhouse Alt.
Yeah.
True.
A new Oliphant Chuckabutty. Yeah,
great organist, Thurban Ball.
George Thurban Ball.
George Thurban Ball.
Yes, it's a strange name, too, when you think about it. Somebody called H.T. White of Woodstock recalled an exchange and wrote to me between Elsie and Doris Waters. We were talking about Reginald Fort, remember? Reginald
Halcyon Neal, days.
Yes, and there, apparently one of them said, did you hear Reginald New last night? And they all said, no, that wasn't Reginald, that was Reginald Fort. So they have a look at the Radio Times, and then one of them says, hey, you are Days, you thought it was New, but I knew it was Fort. This is a What Have They in Common round. John, Mrs. Groves, Mrs. Jaffet, Mrs. Sedley, Mrs. Wordsworth, Mrs. Baggett, and Miss Jessel. All what?
Characters in operas by Benjamin Britten.
Yeah, that's right. Can you take me through them? Mrs. Groves?
Turn of the Screw.
Yes. Mrs. Jaffet?
Noah's Bloody.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Sedley?
Peter Grimes.
Yes. Mrs. Wordsworth?
Or is she Miss Wordsworth?
Well, yes, Miss Wordsworth, you like.
Yes, I think she's
Kipper.
Never been touched. Yes. She's in Albert Herring.
Albert Herring, yes. Baggett?
Mrs. Baggett is in the little opera, what's it called?
Yes, little Sweep.
The Little Sweep. Sweep.
And Miss Jessel in?
Turn of the Screw.
Well done. Frank, in common, the Tsar's Bride, the Snow Maiden, the Invisible City of Kitzek, and the Golden Cockerel. They're all...
more than one word. Or...
yes.
I had a little spirit message.
Did you? Yes, did you?
From the East.
Yes, that's right, yes.
From my East, anyway.
Heavy clue, yes.
Saying they're all operas by Rimsky-Korsakov.
Yes, all from everybody's East, yes. All operas by Rimsky-Korsakov, is right. Ian, Rochester... Diffin, Le Rossignol, Le Villi, and Guntram. More difficult.
Yes, indeed.
If you know anything about any one of them, you can guess what the clue is.
Well, one of them is an opera by Stravinsky.
Yes.
Le Rossignol,
yes,
The Nightingale.
Right. Yes.
And the rest, presumably, are not.
No, they're in common.
And that's what they have in common.
That's what they have in common. They're not by Stravinsky.
Except the one that is.
Yes.
I'm not buying that for a second. Any idea
I had
when...
a sort of feeling you might possibly...
Whereabouts in the Stravinsky canon did Le Rossignol come, do you think?
In the Stravinsky...
canon. In the breach.
Yes. Yes. It was early. I mean, he'd written some ballets.
Yes.
Oh, was it his first opera, was it?
So? They're all first operas.
Not by Stravinsky.
You won't want to mark. Rochester by Verdi, Die Feen by Wagner, Le Rossignol by Stravinsky, Le Villi by Puccini, and Guntram by Richard Strauss. All first operas.
Oh, well, I think I was lucky to get away with anything there.
It's worth a mark to
never heard of any of those others.
Dennis, yours are musicals. Cabin in the Sky, Banjo Eyes, Dancing in the Street, Jack Pot, and Sadie Thompson. Something incredible.
Well, on the basis that I know two of them are by the same man, neither of them contain the song April in Paris, but they're both by Vernon Duke.
Yes.
I never heard of the other eight.
Well, the other two. They're all, as you rightly opine, Vernon Duke's music, but with different lyric writers.
Mm.
And they're all music by Vernon Duke is the answer, and it gets you a mark. Some pieces of music, especially light music, are irritatingly familiar, but you just can't put a name to them. Or rather, perhaps you can. John, you must know this piece I'm about to play. What is it called, and who composed it?
Don't know the name of it or the composer. I don't know the tune.
Well,
so I think the answer is pass.
Yeah, it is, yes.
Twilight.
So the answer is ask the audience. Ever anybody know what it is?
It's a poem by Phoebe.
No, it's not poem by Phoebe. That would be
the answer there.
That's poem. Pardon? No, it's not Rapscoverty. It's La Serenata by Braga. Braga. Isn't it, Braga. Dennis?
I do. I figured out it was the piano.
Yeah. Frank, see how you get on. You've heard this many times, Frank.
That one that goes dum da dee dee.
But you don't know the title.
I wouldn't say I wouldn't know it. I just can't recollect it at this moment.
No, John doesn't like it. John knows the composer perfectly well, or will do when his name is revealed. Again, the audience, anybody know? Dusk by Armstrong Gibbs, yes, called Dusk. Ian, this hasn't been performed for quite a while, but I think you'll remember it even if you don't recognise it. So on.
Go on, Steve.
All right. You're just having me on, aren't you? Because you don't.
No, I just thought that if I didn't know, they might as well have a bit more of the tune. I remember it well, as the saying goes, but I couldn't put a name to it.
Let's ask again. Anybody know? Yes, Song of Paradise. Thank you very much. Thank you. You've got the composer too.
Yes, two marks.
Song of Paradise. Two marks. The lady
Steve,
in the front row.
As conjurers have, you've got plants in the audience.
No. Song of Paradise, as we've just been told, by Reginald King. That's right. Dennis, what is this? And don't say you've never heard it.
Here's your big chance.
Where's the... Madam, you've never seen me before, have you? I know that. I don't know what it is, but I know it as A Little Loving Goes a Long, Long Way When You All Are Alone. And
yes, one of the earlier ones I played had another existence too, Braga Serenata, but not in this sort of light music
sense. Oh, right.
Well, shall we ask the lady who knew Song of Paradise if she knows what that's called?
No.
Anybody else know? Yes, Stephanie Gavotte.
Stephanie
Gavotte.
You see, knew her well.
By Cibulka. And the same Mr. Cibulka, Dennis, wrote this.
Arts and Flowers.
Arts and Flowers, yes. Mm.
I think so, you win that round, Steve.
I think I win that round.
Yeah, the lady in front.
The three of those, I got an irresistible urge to order a pot of tea for two and cucumber sandwiches.
When finding bits of records to play you, I sometimes spot through an LP. We've all done it, all of us. You put the needle down for a second or so, then you lift it up and move it on to find the particular bit of the LP you want. I'm going to spot through an LP by an artist whom each of you in turn should recognise. John, this is an operatic lady, and you'll hear four tiny bits. Who is she, John?
Baker.
No.
Sounded like to me.
No, she's not, no. We're going to ask that lady in the front row again. Does anybody know? Yes. Who said that? Oh, yes. Thank you, madam. Teresa Paganda.
Star is born.
Yeah. This time in about the fifth or the sixth row. Yes, Teresa Paganda it was. Frank, and this time the audience is not to say anything. Yours, Frank, is a group, or was. Friends and love, different.
The Beatles.
Yeah, Beatles, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, the Beatles, four bits of Beatles from Rubber Soul, the LP. Ian, I've heard you actually singing a duet with this chap.
Yes. The only duet I've ever sung with him, I think, and you, perhaps that's the one you're thinking of, is The Two Gendarmes.
That's right, on television.
Which we sang once, and it was absolutely terrifying because he had the habit in between the verses of waltzing round so that one was, and I always had the first line of the next verse, so I was never back at the microphone in time.
Yes,
it's a form of gamesmanship that tenors indulge in sometimes. But not really that particular tenor, because he's the tenor who makes you laugh. H. Seacombe,
yes.
Esquire.
Harry Seacombe it was. Four bits of Harry Seacombe, yes. Dennis, for you, one of the unmistakable voices of our century.
Silence of
Yes, Fred Astaire.
Yes, it's Fred Astaire. Did you hear Silence of My...
Yeah.
The only room I think of you. It was in. It was the verse of that, you know.
Yeah.
Those endless B flats. I read somewhere, and if it's true, that Cole Porter discovered that Fred Astaire had one really good note, which was B flat. And he said, "I'm going to write him a song for that note," and that's how Night and Dave was born.
Do you remember we talked in the previous program about people who get the lyrics of songs slightly wrong? Did I mention the one that we used to know? A chap who used to sing. You know, when he thought nobody was listening, he was singing, "Night and day, you are a one."
Can I just recall, many, many years ago, I had a letter from a lady who was talking about this, and she said her mother always used to drift around the house doing the housework and singing, "I noticed when you kissed me that both your feet were wet." Thank you. This next round concerns dates, the year in which some record or other was popular. The mark if you're within, let's say, 1 year, either way. John, when did Caruso make his famous American Victor recording of Vesti la Giubba?
1904.
03, you get a mark. 1903 it was. Frank, The Andrews Sisters by Mirvis Duchesne. When was that?
It's just before the war, isn't it?
Yes. A bit more than just.
Well, 1937.
Yes, 1937 it was. Ian, Ernest Lough, boy soprano, Over the Wings of a Dove and Hear My Prayer. When did that come out?
Oh, that must have been late 20s, I would have
yes,
said.
Yes, fairly late.
28?
No, 27, but you get the mark, you're within a year, 1927 it was. Dennis, Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel, can you date that?
Well, that was his first, wasn't it? It was his first hit. That would be then about the middle of the 50s. 1955?
Yes, within a year, 1956 it was. Mm-hmm. So everybody's got a mark in that round. Good. It's about time we had a final round in which the songs are truly, utterly and irremediably English. So here's, well, John, yours was sung on the London stage in a heavy French accent, but it's still a completely English song. This is my lovely day.
This is my lovely day.
This is my lovely
day. Oh, down there. Would you rather be down there, would you? Sorry.
This is my lovely
day. Try that.
This is my lovely day. This is the day I shall remember, the day I die. They can't take that away. It will be always mine, the sun and the wine, the seabirds crying. All happiness must pay, and who can tell if fate means well or the sky is lying? But look at me and say, you will remember too that this was a lovely day, a lovely day, a lovely day.
Frank, some time before the stately homes of England were opened to the likes of you and me, there was a song about them. The master wrote it.
Arguably, yes. I suppose, almost the perfect comedy lyric, isn't it?
Yes. Try there.
There's three verses. If I can remember and not totally destroy the beauty of the last verse. The stately homes of England, though rather in the lurch, provide a lot of chances for psychical research. There's a ghost of a crazy younger son who murdered in 1341 an extremely rowdy nun who resented it, and people who come to call meet her in the hall. The baby in the guest wing who crouches in the grate was walled up in the west wing in 1428. If anyone meets the Queen of Scots in a hand-embroidered shroud, we're proud of the stately homes of England.
Then it's a bit of a tongue twister, your song, but English to the core. In fact, you might even go so far as to say sloppy. Butterflies in the rain.
That one. Yeah. Right. I'm going to be down there tonight. When the rain is pattering helter-skelter and the butterflies are caught out in the rain, leafy hollyhocks all murmur, come and shelter till the rainbow shines again. In the heart of every rose a haven to protect them from the pitter-patter rain. There's protection from the showers in the sympathetic flowers for the butterflies in the rain. I was afraid for a moment the lyric would be a little bit too outspoken for this audience.
Rather too rugged.
Yes.
Doesn't that take one back
to something that used to happen in the cinema when I was a boy? It didn't happen very often, but every now and again, as a little diversion, they played a song for the audience to sing, and they put the words up, and a little ball bounced along the words.
Yeah.
And that was the sort of song that they did that with.
You only get that nowadays with topless waitresses.
How am I expected to sing after that?
My old schoolmaster used to say, simmer down, everybody, simmer down. Yeah. Ian, Scot though you are, you left your heart in a Sassenach garden.
Yes, indeed.
I leave my heart in an English garden.
and the oaks stand by. Though the years arise and roll away, still shall those watchmen stay, bold in the blue of an English sky. I leave my dreams in an English garden, safe where the breezes of England blow. When the highways are dark and drear, I know there's sunshine there, bright where the roses of England grow.
I've got a rather complicated score sheet here, which shows that the lady in the fifth row has one mark, the lady in the first row has one mark, but up here on the stage, it's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.